You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Hello, Giants fans, and welcome to a new edition of the Valentine's Podcast here on JQ Radio, part of your SB Nation family of podcasts. I'm your host, Ed Valentine of Big Blue View. Today's show is coming to you on Thursday, April 2nd, as we continue to roll toward the 2020 NFL Draft, continue with coverage of Giants free agency as the Giants do make some minor moves, smaller moves, begin to introduce their newly signed players to the media. One small move the Giants made this week was to sign long snapper Casey Kreider, formerly of the Denver Broncos and a 2018 Pro Bowler, as the Giants look to move forward without longtime snapper Zach Diassi, who's expected to retire. Kreider joins Casey Holbaugh and Drew Scott, so the Giants now have three long snappers to compete for that job in the 2020 season. You would have to think that Kreider, Pro Bowler in 2018, as we said, four-year member of the Denver Broncos, would probably be the favorite to win that job. So we'll see how that goes, but the Giants have created some competition at an overlooked but very critical spot there, that of the long snapper. So we'll see how that plays out. That's what the Giants have been doing over the last week or so, is filling some smaller holes, bringing in guys to do specific things for them, bringing back a guy like Corey Coleman, the wide receiver kick returner, bringing in a tight end like Eric Tomlinson, even signing a running back like Deion Lewis. So that's where we are right now in free agency. We're at that time of year where you're that time in free agency where you do smaller things. You bring in depth pieces. You bring in guys to compete for roster spots. And that's where the Giants are right now, trying to fill some holes, add some depth to a roster that really just hasn't been good enough over the past couple of years. A few things for you on today's show, Giants fans. A little bit later on, I'll have what I think is a really interesting interview with Ken Herrock, who is a former NFL player, longtime NFL executive with the Raiders, Falcons, Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and Green Bay Packers. Filled the general manager role, actually, in Atlanta and Tampa Bay. Has been out of the NFL since the early 2000s, but does a lot of work now with NFL draft prospects, prepping them for the combine, doing as far as the workouts, as far as the interviews, things that they have to know about the NFL draft process and about the NFL itself. So we'll talk to Ken about a lot of that, about what's going on in the NFL today, and several other things. Ken was a very interesting interview, at least I thought so. When we get to that, I hope you enjoy it. Couple of sort of housekeeping things, Big Blue View related things that I wanted to get to. As I mentioned at the top of the show, the Giants have begun introducing some of their newly signed free agents to the media. We've had a chance this week to talk to Colt McCoy. We've had a chance to talk to Nate Ebner. We've had a chance to speak with Levine Tuilolo, the newly signed tight end from the San Francisco 49ers. There are posts up on Big Blue View about all of those interviews. Hope you get a chance to check that out. We are also rolling through a Big Blue View community mock draft. As this particular podcast goes live, we are actually on pick number 4, which belongs to the New York Giants. So check out what happens in our poll and how that turns out. We'll see who Big Blue View community members choose for your New York Giants with that fourth overall pick. So follow along as we get the results of that. We're going to roll through 36 picks in that mock draft since the Giants have the fourth overall pick in the second round, which is number 36. We're going to go that far to see how our Big Blue View community members think things will work out for the Giants in the draft. So with that said, Giants fans, let's take a quick break here for a word from our sponsors. And when we come back, I'll be joined by Ken Harrock, and we will we'll talk to the veteran NFL personnel man about a lot of different NFL-related topics. All right, Giants fans, I'm joined now by Ken Harrock, former Vice President of Player Personnel for the Atlanta Falcons, for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, former NFL player back in the day, been an executive, been around the NFL for a long time. Ken, thank you very, very much for joining the show.
Thanks, Ed. Too glad to be here.
So, you know, it's a really interesting, really different time in the NFL, and I interviewed a young man the other day that I know you're familiar with, a guy named Brandon Polk from James Madison University, and you did a sort of an NFL-style pro day for him. I'm just curious how that came about.
Well, here's what's happened. You know, they shut down all the universities where players were working out. They shut down all the training facilities where players work out. So now the players don't have a place to go. They can't have a pro day. They're sort of caught in limbo right now. And you're not going to see guys the scouts right now can find because they go out and time somebody. Like, for instance, right here, we put together this video on Polk. I put him through what I call a combine player interview first. I put him on the board and showed him how sharp he was on the board and how good he was in being able to know the offense. We videotaped all that. Then we went to the field, and on the field we did the combine workout. The most important thing was to get a 40 on this guy because he's fast.
And he,
everybody said he was fast because he was at Penn State. Everybody said he was faster than Hemler.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that's fast.
Yeah.
So he's been a track guy. He was a 100 meter, 200 meter champ when he was a sophomore in high school. So now they needed somebody with some credibility. When I say credibility, I've been in the scouting business for 40 years. When I say scouting, when you're a GM, you're a scout. You just got to hire scouting a title, that's all. But so put him through the end of the workout. And the most important thing, we want to make sure that we get an accurate time. I timed him in a 4.289 because my clock goes to three digits after it. So it's a 4.29 really. But that's fast. That would be one of the faster guys down at the combine. And then we even put it on video to time it on video, and it came out to a 3.1, a 4.31 in the 40 time. Now, where he really exploded was out of the blocks. He ran a 1.44.10, which if you know times, and yeah, when you're in this business, you know times and what they mean and everything. So the guy is really fast, and he's not big, but he's the same size as Hollywood Brown, same size as Hemler up at Penn State. He played at Penn State for 4 years, and when he was there at Penn State, he didn't put on the great numbers, but he was playing behind a lot of good players that got drafted out of there. So you see, he transferred his senior year to JMU, up a school where he knew was credible. They're always in the championship game. They're always putting out, you know, pro players, and also they had run an offense conducive to what he can do. He goes there, and in for this season, he caught 73 balls. But in the 12 games that he played, he had the same statistics as Hemler did at Penn State, who's thought to be a high pick. And this kid is not even on the radar. He's sort of got it. Hey, we'll see what he does, see what he runs. But now he'll be able to get some recognition. But there's going to be a lot of guys this year in this draft that aren't going to get that because you can't go in time. You can't go in and find some sleeper, so to say, that, wow, he ran really fast, faster than we expected. So it's going to go back to what I call old-time scouting. When I say old-time scouting, the teams with the best scouts this year will fare much better than the ones with the inexperienced scouts, the young scouts, because they can recognize the talent more readily, and they'll be able to find and know those sleepers, per se, down in the late rounds and free agents. So the ones that are really the good scouts will find them this year. So the teams with the best scouts this year will fare better in this process.
This is more it's more like the old way. It's probably more like the way that it was.
I'll give you an example. When I first started scouting, there was only two scouts while I was with the Oakland Raiders. And this is going back to 1970. Two scouts, myself and Ron Wolf. Ron became the GM eventually up at Green Bay and is in the Hall of Fame. Two scouts. And we didn't time guys as much. We'd go out in the spring and get some times. We didn't always, like our first draft pick that year was Jack Tatum. Never had a time on him. Never brought him in for a meeting. Never put him through any workout. We saw him down at the Senior Bowl, said hello to him, and that was about it. And we drafted him in the first round. He went on to be a great player because we knew, watching him, he's going to be a great player. But then we had another guy named Phil Villapiano out of Bowling Green. We never timed him. All I knew is I knew Don Nayland at Bowling Green, and he swore by him. So we're listening to a lot of coaches in those days, and you were still self-evaluating players. And we drafted him in the second round, and he became a Pro Bowl player, a great player for the Oakland Raiders. So that it comes back to scouting now, as opposed to, where you don't have as much information. The information you have is from that scout, what he saw during the season.
It's interesting, obviously Big Blue View covers the Giants, and obviously the Giants have one of those more old-time scouts as their GM in Dave Gettleman, and they have a lot of veteran scouts in their organization. Are they a team, when you talk about that,
in this draft. They're a team that'll do well. Gettleman's an old school scout, and he knows the scouts and what they're capable of. And if he isn't, then he teaches some of these young kids to become good scouts. They will do a great job in this draft. He's done a great job in these other drafts too. People will question always some picks, whoever you take. People always quit, particularly in New York. But he's done well with his picks this year. Were they picking? What are they picking? Third or fourth? Somewhere down there.
They pick fourth.
Fourth. Hey, he's going to wind up with a great player. There's some top great players in this upper part of this draft again. So he'll wind up with a great player. He might wind up with Chase Young for all I know. Who knows?
Yeah, that would be an amazing coup for the Giants if that were to happen. But I guess there are scenarios. You never know what's going to happen when the draft rolls around.
Well, you can always trade up a pick or so if you wanted to, too, you see, maybe to go get him. Because people always shoot for the quarterbacks.
Right.
And there's a couple of quarterbacks in here that are pretty darn good. Burrow, Herbert from Oregon. I really like those two. Those are I think will be big time pro quarterbacks.
And but after that, there's a drop off at quarterback, I assume.
Yeah, I think there is. Yeah, I think Tua is he's in that, not in that range, I think, of those other two, but he's an NFL quarterback. I'm not sure because you get some doubts on the injuries. You get some doubts in that area there.
Yeah, so you look at the Giants and have you studied the prospects well enough to really to be able to offer an opinion on the various offensive tackles that might be available?
Oh yeah, the offensive tackle. I work. See, what I do in the January and February, I work with a lot of the top prospects, preparing them for the combine interviews. Okay. That's one of the things that I do in preparing these players for the draft. And I worked with the kid at Iowa, I worked with the Georgia kid. Mm-hmm. I worked with both of those top players right there. Now, any one of those top players is capable of being drafted in the top 10. And they're the two type of guys that can go on and be Pro Bowl players.
Right, you're
they
talking
have Pro Bowl abilities.
Right, you're talking about Werf St. Thomas.
Yes, they have Pro Bowl abilities. Now, there's a couple other ones there. There's the kid from Louisville. He has unusual talent, but there are a couple things in his background that can maybe concern you a little bit. And who knows if that those concerns come back to get you?
Yeah, and then there's
it might be him. Hey, listen, the kid was early in his career, really didn't commit to football, and you don't know if he'll come back into pro football and really commit to it.
Right, and then there's, you know, you talk about this year being so different. Obviously, the other kid is the Wills kid from Alabama.
Yeah, he's a solid player. He's a good player, and he you know, he'll start for somebody, and it'll just depend on how he picks it up as a player mentally and also physically. Now, if he's going to be in that range, but he is a considered a first round pick.
And you wonder, like, the Giants with Joe Judge and his Alabama connection, and Wills, of course, being from Alabama this year. You wonder. I wonder if that'll weigh.
They might do that. But you don't always go by that. You go by the best player.
Right.
You don't worry about the connection. You go by the best players available. And I think the other two are, I think, far more better prospects.
So why don't we talk a little bit? You mentioned what you're doing with these guys, and why don't we talk a little bit about your business, about how you help these draft prospects. Your last actual NFL job was with Green Bay, and that ended in, what, 2001 or 2, somewhere around there?
2001, and I've been doing this business. I started this business after I retired. I wanted something to do. Before you know it, 19 years go by, and I'm still doing it.
And the business is called Pro Prep, correct?
Yeah, business is called Pro Prep. And what I do, basically, I've worked in the past with every year at least a dozen first-round picks, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And what I do is I work for 20 agents, basically, mm-hmm. and I do all their players. And they're all the top agents, usually the top agents. Mm-hmm. And so I'll have a group of players. Say I work at Exos Pensacola. I might have 10 guys there that week. So I go down, I have a general meeting for about 2.5 hours. I speak to them about everything they need to know from the time they leave college football till the time that they will leave pro football. And then I interject things on how to, what they're going to do with the combine. Just gives me alert to everything that they need to know about pro football as it goes on from the day they leave college until that first training camp, particularly.
Right.
And then I take them individually now,
right,
for about 2.5 hours. Individually, I prepare them for the combine player interviews. I know every question they can possibly be asked. And some players have issues. I have to resolve those issues so that the players can sell that he's sincere about what he's doing, the issues are behind them. And then I prepare them for every question, how they would answer, even stupid questions that sometimes a coach, they come up with. Would you rather be a dog or a cat? That's a stupid question, but that has been asked. I know all the stupid questions have been asked, and I know every question has been asked. So I'm able to do that. And then I put it through, I show them tapes of guys that I've worked with and how good they perform in their interview part. And then I put them on an interview, and I tape them, and then we evaluate them and how they're doing. And I even put them through what I call, it's now 18 minutes, but it was 15-minute mock interviews. That's about how much time you got. I showed them exactly the procedure from when you walk in. It's all timed. You got a minute to do this, a minute so to mm-hmm. do that. And then you got so much time on a board, so much time at each section what to do and what to expect. It's a thorough program. I developed this program through the years now, and I tell you what, it's so beneficial to all these players, and they realize it after they go through it. I mean, just think, it takes it takes pretty, it's pretty tough to sit with 10 kids for 2.5 hours and go, they're all paying attention and all taking notes. It's pretty tough to take a kid for 2.5 hours individually and prepare them. And they all want to do it because they know they're doing it right. They're going to make some money.
There you go. So I'm curious, though, yeah. now you've been on both sides of it. You know, you've been the guy picking the players. Now you're helping these guys prepare. You know, as you look back on it, is the way this process generally unfolds, is there almost too much information now? Is it almost too invasive?
There is so much more information now than there used to be back when I was scouting. Back when I was scouting, it was more, if you were a good scout, you picked a player. You didn't have as much information. You got to remember, the first combine didn't start until 1981.
Right.
In fact, I ran one of the first combines for national scouting in Tampa Bay in 1981. We put together the people that were in national scouting. We ran 125 players through for physicals. Then next year we got a little smarter. We put them through a workout. And then after that, I said, I don't want to be responsible for this because we're doing it outdoors on grass.
Right.
I said, if it rains, we have no place to go in Tampa.
Right.
So eventually we moved that to New Orleans. It was great in New Orleans, but they lost the lease on the dome. We went to Phoenix for a couple of years. After Phoenix, went into Indianapolis, and I think it should stay there forever in Indianapolis. They have it down to a T, and they got all the everything is perfect. They keep talking about maybe moving it to different cities. I think the logistics in that type of scenario is going to cause some problems.
Yeah, I've been to Indy for the combine a couple times now, and between the convention center and Lucas Oil Stadium and the way the community is set up, it is perfect. I'm like you. I think I'd hate to see it move.
Well, I definitely wouldn't be the one that has to move it and put it all together because it's really it's a difficult now. Plus, now you're dealing with a total anywhere from 325 to 350.
Number of players, you mean?
Yeah, number of players. If you take it to the West Coast, look at the logistics there, taking everybody from the East Coast to the West Coast.
Right.
Whereas you got a central location in Indianapolis.
Right. The time change for kids will throw
it
off.
The time change. You're right. The time change. There's so many things of taking it to the West Coast that I wouldn't be in favor of.
All right. Hey, Ken, I really appreciate your spending some time with me. Why don't you tell folks if they wanted to check out your website, check out your work a little bit, you know, just learn a little bit more about you, where they can do that.
Just go to, yeah, I have a website. It's kenherock.com. Real simple. KENHEROCK.com. And really, I'm at a point where I really can't take on any more business. I've got more. I have to turn a lot of people away because I've been working with the same agents for the last 20 years, and those are the guys that I take care of first, and usually there's more than enough players for me to do in that regard.
All right. Hey, thank you very much. Thank you very much for spending some time with me. Hopefully we'll talk again. You know, we'll see who the Giants draft. Maybe we'll talk again.
Okay. Thanks, Ed. Talk to you again.
Thank you. All right. Bye-bye. All right, Giants fans, that's our show for today. We thank you, as always, for listening. Hope that all of you are staying safe, following the guidelines, doing everything that you can to slow the spread of this virus that has changed everything in our lives these days. Again, you know, please stay safe, take care, and we'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
More to-dos, less time, and an infinite number of tools to keep track of. Sometimes doing business has never felt harder, but you don't need a miracle to hit your goals. You can just use HubSpot, because their all-in-one customer platform can make growing your business infinitely easier. Imagine this: high-quality leads, fast closing deals, wildly happy customers, and more benchmark-breaking quarters. It's not a miracle, it's HubSpot. Visit HubSpot.com to get started today.